Well, this morning we're turning our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, once again, Hebrews chapter number 11. And as you might be able to tell, the theme for our year is the subject of faith. And we've been enjoying looking at the different examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we're continuing in verse number 27. Thank you for turning with me there. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to focus on verse number 27 this morning, but why don't we begin in verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 27. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word once again. And Lord, as we come to this time, Lord, we pray that we would hear from you. Lord, help us to have hearing ears and help us to have yielded hearts. And Father, as we study this subject of faith, we all too often have come to realize that your definition and your example of faith is so much different from what we believe faith to be. Lord, we pray that you would challenge us once again by the example of Moses. Lord, we thank you that he was just a sinner that put his faith in you for salvation. Lord, he was just in need of you as we are this morning. And yet, Lord, he chose, despite his fears and frailties, to trust in you. And Lord, you were able to prove yourself strong in his life, as you are able in ours. Lord, we do ask that the Holy Spirit of God, he would be our teacher this morning. Lord, that he would lead us into all truth. And Father, as you speak to our very lives this morning, help us to be careful, to be willing and yielded to your word, so that you may be glorified and that we may walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, as you well know, has been called the Hall of Faith. And the encouraging fact is that it is made up of believers just as real as you and I. Real people with real problems, with real trials and real feelings, but with a real God that they could put their faith in. As we've gone through this chapter, you would have seen that dozens of men and women that are listed here endured trials. They endured great tragedy. In fact, some of them endured such difficulty, the likes of what you and I perhaps will never experience in our Christian life. And yet the Bible says that they endured. Just like Moses here in chapter 11 and verse 27, the Bible tells us very simply and clearly how they could endure the trials of life simply because they saw him who is invisible. They saw the living God. And isn't that what faith truly is? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's be reminded about what God defines as faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. You see, the faith of these ones listed in Hebrews chapter 11 was an unseen faith. They had faith in the invisible God. They endured. They had strength in life because they saw him who is invisible. And friends, that's what faith is. I'm afraid so often in our Christian lives we define faith by our feelings. We live by feelings and we think we're living by faith. And yet God defines for us what true biblical faith really is. And thank God for the Word of God. Thank God He's able to correct us and sharpen us and help us as Christians to live the life of faith. For the just shall live by faith. And as I often say, there is no other way to live. If you and I are not living by faith as God's people, then we cannot live. We will be stumbling. We will be falling. We will be discouraged. And God lifts for us some real examples in Hebrews chapter 11 to challenge us, but yes, to encourage us. I trust you're ready to be encouraged this morning by the life of Moses. Now, last week we saw Moses' faith from verses 23 to 25. We saw how he refused by faith. We saw in verse 24 how he refused the sin of the world, the lusts of the world, the temptations of the world. You see, true faith will say no to sin. True faith will say no to sin. Notice verse number 25. True faith will also choose to serve the Lord, choosing God, and choosing God over all things. That is true faith. In verse 26, we see that true faith will esteem, to judge. That's what the word means. True faith will judge that God is much greater and much more worthy of our lives than everything this world has to offer. Amen. What a challenging reality. What a challenging truth to help us. But this morning we're going to look at how faith endures fear. How faith endures fear. How through faith we can overcome our fears. Notice Hebrews 11 verse 27. The Bible says of Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. You might like to keep a bookmark in Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me at Moses' life in Exodus chapter number 2. Now, would you agree with me this morning that there were two times that Moses forsook Egypt? There were two times that Moses rejected Egypt and Moses turned his back on all that Egypt had to offer. The Bible tells us, notice in chapter 2 and verse 15. Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So here we see the first time Moses forsook Egypt. We know what took place before that. Moses saw one of the Egyptians beating one of his own people, and the Bible tells us that Moses slew the Egyptian. And when Pharaoh found out what Moses had done, Pharaoh attempted to take Moses' life, and Moses fled. He forsook Egypt, but he ran at this stage from the wrath of the king. He did not face the wrath of the king, he ran from the wrath of the king. Now, 40 years later, Moses returned to Egypt, and it is that time that we are looking at in verse number 27 of Hebrews 11, that Moses did not run from the wrath of the king, but in fact he faced the wrath of the king. And how was he able to endure the wrath and the anger of the Pharaoh of the greatest kingdom on earth? The Bible tells us, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word endure means to be strong. The word endure means to be steadfast, to be patient. You see, the Bible is teaching us a very important lesson this morning, that you and I can face the greatest trials. You and I can face our greatest fears. How? By faith. By faith. How do we do that? By seeing him who is invisible. We are going to learn what that means this morning. Well, what lessons can we learn from the life of Moses? Well, notice first of all that faith endures personal fears. Faith endures personal fears. Now, no matter who you are this morning, no matter where you've come from, we all have something, one or more things in our life that we fear. We all have fears. We all have very personal fears, would you agree? You can nod and you can say yes this morning. It's okay. You're allowed to. Amen. We all have fears that we struggle with. We all have problems in our lives that perhaps no one else knows, but we know and God knows. And may I encourage you this morning, the first lesson we will learn from the Word of God is that faith endures personal fears. You see, before Moses could return to Egypt, he had to face some personal fears of his own, didn't he? He had to face them by faith in the living God. Notice with me Exodus chapter number 3. We're already in the book of Exodus. Notice chapter number 3. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that there was Moses. When he was 40 years old, he fled Egypt. And for the next 40 years, God was doing a work of preparation in Moses' life. And it's interesting that God allowed him to become a shepherd of stubborn sheep, a shepherd to look after stubborn sheep, knowing that God was going to use him to look after a rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked people such as the nation of Israel. And God was preparing Moses. But little did Moses know, would you agree, all that God had in store for him. Now one day, the Lord called out to Moses there in the wilderness, there in the land where he had dwelt and had been married, and now he had a family and he was a shepherd. The Lord called out to Moses, and Moses said, "Here am I." And then the Lord told Moses what he wanted him to do, and then Moses said, "Send someone else." Isn't that what happened? And isn't that so like you and I? That's so often when God calls us to serve Him, when God calls us to live for Him, too often we allow our fears to determine our choices. So often we allow our fears to take hold, and isn't it true, so often we give up before we even start. See, before Moses could return to face the Pharaoh, he had to face his personal fears. And faith endures our personal fears. Well, what were some of Moses' fears? Well, have a look in Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. There were three things that we can identify that Moses feared and doubted. Notice Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. God says to Moses, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That was the will of God for Moses. Verse 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" First of all, Moses doubted his calling, didn't he? He doubted his calling from God. You see, Moses said to God, he said, "Lord, I'm a nobody. Who am I that I should be the one to go to Egypt? Lord, I'm not the one you want to use. Surely you've made a mistake. God, you've done something wrong. Have you mistaken me for another Moses? Lord, who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm not qualified. How can I stand before Pharaoh? In fact, I'm the worst person to go back because you know that I fled from Pharaoh." Think about Moses' fears for a moment. And if the truth be known, many of God's people feel this way today. Is that not true that we say to the Lord, "Lord, you can't use me as a witness. Lord, there's no way that I can go door knocking in my community and tell people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that I can tell people passionately and confrontationally what Jesus said, that He is the only way, the truth and the life, and that there is no salvation apart from Him. Lord, there's no way that I can do that. I mean, who am I? Lord, I'm sure there's someone much better for that job." Maybe some of you have decided already before even getting started, as a Christian, "God can't use me." Well, that's not true. But those are our fears, are they not? We can't lead a soul to Jesus Christ. We're not able to do that. That's the job of the pastor. That's the job of the missionary. Now, those are our fears. "Lord, I could never be a pastor. Lord, I could never be a missionary. Lord, I could never preach or teach a Sunday school or disciple a new believer in Christ. Lord, I could never serve God in His church. Lord, I could never do that." And yet these are our fears. Because we know the will of God, don't we? We know that God has called all of us to be witnesses. We know that God has called all of us to disciple others. His calling to discipleship is for us all. Look, if the pastor has to do everything, the church is in trouble. Amen? The church is in trouble. The church will never grow. But see, our fears hold us back, just like Moses of old. In fact, in haste, so often we never get started because of our fears. Now, these are very personal fears this morning that we're dealing with. And the great example of Moses here in Hebrews chapter 11 and now in Exodus chapter number 3 is that God gave Moses some promises to strengthen his faith. Notice Exodus chapter number 3 and notice verse 12. What did God say to Moses? All right, that's a good question. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice the first promise God gave to Moses. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." You see, Moses feared God's calling. He said to God, "God, you've chosen the wrong person. Who am I that you should send me?" And God knew that Moses was afraid, and so God gave Moses a precious promise. He said in verse number 12, did he not? "Certainly I will be with thee. And not only that, you will return to this very mountain, and the people of God will worship me right here where you stand." And you see, the first promise Moses is given is the promise of God's presence. The promise of God's presence. And brethren, that is God's promise to us this morning. You see, whatever God calls us to, would you agree, He is with us. He is with us. Notice Matthew chapter 28. I don't want you to agree with me, but please agree with the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28. Notice the Lord's promise to His disciples. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Now here is God's calling upon every born-again Christian. Matthew chapter 28. At the end of the chapter, before ascending to heaven, the Lord said in verse 18, let's begin there, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Now there's the calling, but there's our fears. "Lord, I can't preach the gospel. Lord, I don't know what to say. Lord, you must have someone else that you want to send. Maybe it's one of the 9 missionaries we support. Maybe it's just the elders in the church. Maybe it's just the pastor. Maybe it's just the Christians that have been saved for a long time." But that's not the truth. This is God's calling for all of us to go, for all of us to witness, for all of us to see those new Christians baptized, for all of us to disciple, for all of us to teach whatsoever the Word of God says. In our homes, to other believers. That's the calling. But notice the promise at the end of verse 20. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You see, with the Lord's calling is the Lord's promise of His presence. The Lord is with us. And how is it possible that you and I could ever witness to someone else? How is it possible that you and I could ever go door knocking and do something so strange and even in our minds so cultic as telling people about the gospel door to door? Well, first of all, it's biblical. The cults did not make up door knocking. God made it up. They went from house to house. They preached everywhere the gospel. And we are called to reach our community. We are called to lovingly, passionately witness and preach the gospel. But so often we don't. So often we allow our fears to hold us back from obeying God and living by faith. Why? Because we forget His promises. We forget that He is with us. Friends, the most exciting thing about door knocking is that when we go to the door, guess who is already there? And no, it's not the person who lives there. It is the Lord. Amen? The Lord, in fact, is already working in their hearts. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He is at work in the heart of every soul today. But the question is, will you and I live by faith? Or will we be crippled by our fears? You see, the Lord wanted to send Moses on an important mission. And he has called us all to the most important mission. The mission of preaching the gospel. The mission of being witnesses unto him. The mission of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And the only way that you and I can possibly endure those fears is by faith. You see, by faith Moses endured. How? By seeing him who is invisible. Now I guarantee you, if you see Jesus Christ standing next to you in a vision, you've had too much pepperoni pizza the previous night. Okay? Moses endured by seeing him who is what? Whom? Invisible. Invisible. Yes, God cannot be seen, but his promises are so sure, we know he is with us. That is a promise of God. Friend, what is holding you back from serving the Lord? What is holding you back from being a witness for Jesus Christ? Perhaps it's your fears. May I encourage you. As a child of God, we all have the promise of his presence. You know, parents, in our families, we worry so much about our children. Sometimes we allow our fears to stop us from doing that which is right. So often we allow our fears from not obeying God and we worry, hey, look, if I discipline my kids, they're going to rebel against me. At least that's what the websites tell me today. Because we know more than God knows. And if we don't correct our children, well, they'll love me. That's the opposite to what the Bible says. The Bible says as we teach our children the difference between right and wrong, and they understand when they do wrong that there is a consequence, that is the truth that will lead them to Jesus Christ. And we have a generation today of young people that have never experienced the consequences of their wrong actions growing up in the home, and they don't even believe that they're sinners. They don't even believe that there is a consequence for their actions here on earth. And we wonder why people don't want to hear the gospel. And this generation, it's foreign to them that there is a consequence for sin and that God demands justice and he is a God of judgment and a God of forgiveness. You see, as we instill into our children biblical truths, it's not easy. It goes against our flesh. But that's just an area of fear in our lives. We don't want to obey God because we fear that perhaps they'll turn on us. In fact, the opposite is true. Now, we could park there for a while, but that's just an example. Fear in our lives as parents. Fear in our witness as Christians. Fear in obeying the Word of God. And Moses didn't want to obey God, and God gave him a wonderful promise. I am with you. Don't forget that we are laborers together with God. Amen. One soweth, another watereth, but it is God which giveth the increase. What a wonderful calling we have that can only be done by faith in the living God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faith endures personal fears. Now notice with me, back in the book of Exodus. Now are you still with me this morning? Amen. Exodus chapter number 3. So Moses doubted God's calling. Moses feared facing Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 3. Let's jump to chapter 4. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 4. Notice verse 1. Notice the next doubt of Moses. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. You see, Moses first doubted his calling, and then Moses doubted his testimony. He basically said to God, he said, God, all right, I know that you're with me, but they're not going to believe me. They won't believe that I met with the living God. They won't believe that I heard from God. They don't believe that I've been called of God to bring them this message of deliverance, and Pharaoh will not believe either. They won't believe my testimony. And what a real example for us today. How often have you and I been so burdened in our hearts for the lost, but we've been convinced by our own fears that they won't believe me. They won't believe me. Look, if I tell them that there was a day in my life when I repented of my sins, and I knew I was a sinner headed to hell, and I repented and I turned to Jesus Christ as my Savior. And by faith, I put my trust in Him once and for all, and He forgave me for my past, present, future sins forever under the blood of Jesus Christ, and that I walk with Him, and He talks with me through His living Word, and then I speak to Him in prayer. I've got a relationship with God. The world's going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm crazy. If I share my testimony, that's what Moses said. He said, if I tell them what you've told me, they won't believe me, Lord. They're not going to listen. You see, that was Moses' fear. He feared what others would think. Now, we've got that same fear. We don't have to explain it any more than that. For those of us who have been truly born again by faith in Jesus Christ, we've experienced a life-changing event in our lives. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Is that correct? A new creature. And so, there is a change. We know it. But we want to tell the world. And we fear if we do, they won't listen. Would you agree? All right, don't get distracted. Okay? Amen? Please look up here. We fear that they won't listen. And so what does that do? That stops us from telling anyone. Look, if I tell my neighbour, they won't like me anymore. So it's better to keep the gospel to myself and have a peaceful relationship so, you know, we'll get along. If I tell my workmates who Jesus Christ really is and what He's done for me, then maybe I won't be comfortable at work anymore. Maybe they won't listen to me. Maybe I'll be embarrassed. Maybe I'll be rejected. That was Moses' fear. But faith endures personal fears. Notice with me, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, what was God's second response? And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. So what did God promise Moses? God promised Moses that he would give him a sign, and Moses would see the miraculous. God would give a miraculous sign to back up the testimony of his witness. Now, hang on a second. You might be sitting here this morning and you might say, well, what sign has God given me? Does that mean God needs to show people visions and signs and dreams in order for them to believe? Well, that's not true. What sign has God given us to authenticate your and my testimony of salvation? Well, that's a good question. Look with me at the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Now, we fear what people will think. We fear that we will be rejected. It's our fears that keep us from serving God. But what did the Apostle Paul say? Now, don't miss it. Romans chapter number 1, Paul is saying, I want to come to Rome. Look, if there was one place that Paul should have by all means wanted to avoid, it was the capital. It was the city of Rome, the place of the greatest persecution. And yet he said to these believers, I desire to come unto thee. Why? Where did this faith come from and this fearlessness come from? Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's read it together, shall we? On two. One, two. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Friends, what is the sign, the greatest sign that God has given us? Friends, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the death, burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world knows. It is a fact of history. It is a supernatural reality. Friends, God has already given us the sign of the gospel. We don't need to worry about what people think. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, God said to Moses, Moses, don't worry. You just speak the truth. Let me work. Let me work the miraculous. And you see, what stops you and I from preaching the gospel is our worry about what people think. Hey, they won't believe me. And God says to us this morning, preach the gospel. It is the power of God, the dynamite power of God that will lead sinners to Jesus Christ. But before you and I can be used of the Lord, we need to overcome these personal fears, because God won't be able to use us otherwise. We'll stay silent. We'll zip our lips, and sometimes we're bold and sometimes we get afraid, because in the reality is some people will reject us. We'll look at it later, but Moses was rejected by Pharaoh at first, was he not? Moses was rejected by the nation of Israel as well, because things didn't go to plan at first. But if you and I give up when persecution comes, that's the evidence of a lack of faith in your life and mine. You see, God will do the miraculous. How many of you are thankful this morning that God did the miraculous in your life? You know, I remember a day coming into church like this. I wasn't a Christian. I was living in Sydney. I was earning lots of money. I thought I'd live forever, but one day God got my attention. So I ended up in church. I tell you what, I felt like a fish out of water. I didn't know what was going on, what we were singing, what I was hearing, but suddenly I realized there was a problem. There was a sign on the front of the church which said, "You must be born again." And I knew one thing. I didn't know what that meant. And Jesus said, it's a must. So I was sitting there. I was panicking. I was worrying. So to overcome my fears, I began to tell everyone I was a Christian. Look, if I could convince everyone I was a Christian, maybe I would feel a little bit better. I wouldn't have that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach that God describes as conviction. So I pretended I was a Christian. I went to church and I even started some Bible studies. But the more of the Word of God I heard, the more I realized I had no idea where I was going when I died. I had no idea whether I was a child of the King. I wanted to be. I called myself a Christian. But had I been born again? And I remember the very Sunday when, after the morning service, a young lady turned around to me. She was sitting in front and she said, "James, let me ask you a question." I said, "Sure. If you died today, would you be 100% sure that you'll go to heaven when you die?" And I looked at that young lady and I became angry. I became angry because I was afraid. I had no idea of how I could be sure. In fact, I said to that young lady, I said, "Look, how can you be sure?" And she said, "Because God tells us how we can be sure. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And friends, the greatest lie in the world today is that you can never be sure. You can just try. You need to try as best as you can. You need to go to church. You need to give. You need to pray. You need to crawl upstairs and worship an unknown God. And you can never know God personally. And hopefully all your works, all your efforts will one day get you to heaven. That's what religion teaches. But the Bible teaches us something very different. Very different. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are many people working and laboring to try and get to heaven today. Many trying to work off their sins. But the Bible tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And because we've come short, we can never work our way up. Friends, the more you and I try to work our way to God and think that our good works please Him, the more God is offended. Because our good works are tainted by sin. And we think the iniquity of our hands pleases God. That's a greater offense. That's what the book of Romans tells us. If you read 4, 5 and 6, just have a read. Our efforts to try and work our way to God is a greater offense. Why? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." As I often say, if we could work our way to heaven and earn our way to heaven by our good works, then there was no need for Jesus Christ to come. But the reason why He came, friends, because He became the sin bearer for our iniquities. He became the payment for our sins. On that old rugged cross, the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross and shed His holy blood once and for all to pay for your sins and mine. You see, the wrath of God was appeased, was satisfied by the holy blood of Jesus Christ. And on the third day after being buried, He rose again from the dead, so that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, salvation is forever. It's once and for all. Why? You must be born again. That's just another description of salvation. When you were born, that was a one-time event in your life. You have a birthday. Guess what? In order to be saved, you must be born again. There must be a time in your life where you realize that the Bible is true, that we are all sinners, and because God is a holy God, He cannot let sin slide. He must judge sin. And the judgment we deserve is the lake of fire. Never diminish the reality of hell. Many people don't want to talk about hell today. Well, it doesn't exist. It was just a parable. No, Jesus said, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, the lake of fire. Jesus said, torment, agony, pain, burning, suffering. Why is hell so bad? Because God's holiness is so great. The reason why you and I refuse to believe in hell is because we don't see God as holy as He truly is. If we understood that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, we would be brought to repentance. The good news is, Christ died for us. And He is risen because He wants to save us from our sins. Let me ask you this morning, if you died today, would you be 100% sure of a home in heaven? Do you know where you would spend eternity? Do you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Look, praying a prayer won't do it. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repentance is a turning from our own self, our own will, our own sins, and a turning to Jesus Christ and putting our faith in His purchased salvation once and for all. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust if you're here this morning and there is a measure of fear about where you'll spend eternity, please don't leave here this morning without seeking to find out more. I'm glad that someone one day was fearless enough to go out on a limb and ask me a hard question. Maybe a question that, and as it turned out to be, caused me to be angry, frustrated, because I didn't know where I was going when I died. And friend, we need to be that Christian for someone else. We need to step out of our comfort zone and believe that the gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the payment of sins once and for all is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. That is God's power. So when Moses said to God, God, look, all right, I'll go and I know you're with me, but look, they're not going to believe me. God said, don't worry, I will do the miraculous. I will do the supernatural. And if you are saved here this morning, and you can rejoice in Jesus Christ as Savior, you already have all the proof you need that God can use you, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So then why do we let our fears control our destiny for Christ? Let me encourage you. Take hold of the promises of God. Moses said, okay, Lord, all right. Okay, you're with me. And Lord, you'll do the miraculous. Now, what was Moses' third doubt? Thank you for staying with me this morning. Let's look at his third doubt. Exodus chapter number 4. Moses had to climb a mountain of fear before he could face Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 4. Let's look at Moses' third doubt. Notice verse number 10. Moses said unto the Lord, Lord, I would go, but there's another problem. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now Moses wasn't making this up. This was a real problem, and he feared that God could not use him because he didn't have the ability to be used. Now, we don't know exactly what Moses was talking about. Maybe Moses was just a thinker. So he thought a lot and the words came out slowly. And some of you parents have children like that. They think a lot. When you ask them a simple question and they're thinking, that's just their character. That's their personality. They want to get it right. Sometimes they're perfectionists and they don't want to say the wrong answer. Maybe Moses was like that. Maybe Moses had a speech impediment that caused him to stutter. Now, whatever infirmity Moses had, do you agree with me this morning? He tried to use it as an excuse. Would you agree? Yes, he did. He said, "All right, God, I've got you on this one. I know you're with me. I know you'll do the supernatural. But God, you can't use me because it's impossible. Lord, I can't speak clearly. And you want me to be the spokesperson for you up against Pharaoh." Now, let me be very careful in saying this. Our excuses are not accepted by God. Our excuses are not acceptable before God. You know, we like to paint this picture that God is a gracious God, and yes, He is, but He never, in His graciousness, approves of our sin. Would you agree with that? Yes, He is gracious. Yes, He is patient. But along that path of God working in your life and mine, He never approves of our sin. Notice what the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 14. Read it with me. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." God got angry with Moses. How many of you agree that's pretty serious? All right, Moses was a believer. God got angry with Moses. Why? Because of Moses' excuses. Because of his fears. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I can't. In fact, I won't." And God began to get angry. God got serious. Friends, when you and I use our fears, listen carefully, to excuse ourselves from the calling of God upon our lives, that does not please God. For the just shall live by faith, not by fear. And you see, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Fear displeases God. But faith honors God. And God honors faith. So, Moses, God was gracious with Moses, but He didn't accept his excuses. Please don't leave here this morning thinking that it's okay to leave here unchanged. That God is okay with my fears. That's just who I am. That's my makeup. That's my character. And so I'm fearful, and yeah, God's dealing with me, but you know, another year or two and maybe one day I'll tell someone about Jesus Christ. Maybe one day I'll surrender to God. Young people, let me be bold with you this morning. Some of you have already determined the future of your life on this world because you're living in fear. You've never asked the Lord once, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Why? Because you're afraid. You're afraid that, like Moses, perhaps God will have a destiny much greater than you can possibly imagine, and you're afraid that you won't be able to do it. And you'll be never able to live for God. You'll never be able to be whom God wants you to be, so I might as well make up my own future. Find a career somewhere in the world and settle down in my own little cubicle in an office and bury my head in some paperwork and live for the boss and do what he wants me to do instead of what God wants me to do. That's fear. That is fear. That's living by fear. You see, so often we think we're living by faith, when that's not true at all. We're afraid. We're afraid. See, Moses was afraid. He doubted his abilities. Notice what God responded. Yes, we know he was angry, but notice the promise. God is so gracious. Isn't he? He's so gracious with us. He gives us his precious promises. He rebukes us, yes, but he gives us his promises. 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. "And the Lord said to Moses," him, "who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." You see, you and I have no fear in serving the Lord. Why? Because we have the promise of His presence, we have the promise of His power, and then we have the promise of His provision. God will give us everything we need to do what He calls us to do. What an amazing truth. God has made our mouths. Would you agree? That's what He says. God has made our bodies. Would you agree? He's able to change us spiritually. He's able to increase us physically. He's able to do what He wants in our lives to fulfill His calling. Our job is simply to surrender by faith. If we surrender to our fears, we will never serve God. And God can use us for His glory. John chapter 16 and verse 15. Let's look at another verse. John chapter 16. God's provision for the child of God is so much greater than we can imagine. John chapter 16 and verse 15. Let's look at verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Lord Jesus said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He is a person, not a power source, not a thing. He is God. He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." You see, the Bible tells us of the promise of the Comforter, the promise of the Spirit of God. In fact, the Lord said, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. You must be born of water, the first birth, the physical birth. You must be born of the Spirit, the spiritual birth, born of the Spirit of God from above. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, instantly, invisibly, but miraculously, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us at the very moment of our salvation. Pastor, why in the book of Acts are there laying on of hands? Are there tongues? Are there miracles? Are there what we see, the sign gifts? Why is that there? Well, come and see me after the service. But that's not for today. That is not for today. The Bible tells us for the New Testament Christian, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Bible says very clearly, very clearly, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. Now, if you're working to try and get the Holy Spirit into you, friend, there must be something you've listened to that's a lie. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not saved. You've never been sealed. You've never been born again. But the good news is, for the child of God, if we are saved, He dwells within us. But we need to endure by faith as seeing Him who is invisible. You see, the only way you and I can live by faith in the power of the Spirit of God is to believe the Word of God. If we are saved, He does dwell within us. And I can walk in the Spirit. I can be bold in the Spirit of God. He will give you and I the courage to do what He has called us to do. That's what it means to live by faith, trusting in the promises of God. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was just like Moses and still am in many ways, just like you. Excuses, fears. Lord, I can't serve You. Lord, I'm just a wretched sinner that You in Your grace forgave. Lord, how can You possibly use someone like me? Isn't that what Moses said? Lord, I'm a nobody. Lord, no one will believe me. Lord, look at my abilities. They're so pathetic. And yet God said to Moses, "Moses, I will be with you. Moses, I will do the miraculous. Moses, I will give you the words to speak. In fact, I'll give you a helper, your own brother. And he'll do some talking too." Amen? And God knows who we need and what we need. The question is, will we endure our fears by choosing to live by faith? What will you do, my friend, this week? When you are faced with opportunities and people all around you, from wherever you live, wherever you work, will you choose to live by faith and overcome your fears by enduring and seeing Him who is invisible and saying, "Yes, I'll talk to my workmate because Jesus Christ is right there and He's going to smile down upon me when I share the gospel of Jesus Christ and I'm not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation"? Or will we live by fear? You know, the workplace is a great testing ground for our faith. It's a great one. I got saved when I was working full time, and suddenly I changed, but guess what? And you already know it. The workplace didn't change. Okay? The workplace doesn't change. We change. God is changing us. But the workplace hasn't changed. And suddenly there's all these people around me that potentially are one breath away from an eternity in the lake of fire. Now, if you and I think about that, yes, that's good, but unless we put our faith in God, we cannot speak up. We cannot endure. We won't overcome those personal fears. And it takes faith in God to speak up. Now, I'm no one better than anyone else. But you know, Moses was a great man of faith. He simply said yes to God. And you and I would be in Hebrews chapter 11 if we would simply say yes to God. Say, yes, God, I believe you. That's faith. Yes, God, I know you can and you will. That's faith. Lord, I cannot see you, but I believe in you, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I hope in the Word of God, the promises of God. And as I began to tell my workmates about Jesus Christ, some of them didn't accept. Some of them rejected. It was tough in the workplace after that. But I had a smile on my face, because I knew that Jesus was smiling. I knew that Jesus was rejoicing. And I trusted that He was at work in their lives. I can't tell you what God would do with the gospel seed in the future in their lives. But I believe that He's at work. And I lived by faith. After I went to Bible college, as I surrendered to the calling of God fearfully, but yet willingly, God opened up the door for me to go back to that workplace in the holidays. Every time I had holidays from Bible college, that same workplace gave me work. The troublemaker that was annoying everyone, telling them about Jesus Christ. God miraculously opened the door for me to come back, and then He allowed me to share the gospel again and again, and the Lord helped me to do a better job than I did before. The Lord helped me to stand for God. There were tough times. There were times where the boss wanted me to work on Sundays and Wednesday nights and weekends and to work 7 days a week. And I was confronted with my fears. You know, our fears at work. Now, you know what they are. If I say no to the boss, he's going to fire me. If I say no to the boss, he's not going to give me any work. Friends, that's all the work I had. I wasn't working during the year. I was working during the holidays. And that's all the money I had for the next term. If the boss said, get out of here. We don't want you anymore. Would have had no money. Where would I get work? That's the only place I've ever worked since I left uni. And there were my fears. But then I walked into the producer's office one day and I said, you know, can I just be honest? I just want to let you know that I'm a Christian. You know that. And I just want to be honest and say that I'm not able to work on Sunday. I know you need me here. I know you want me to be here. But I'm a Christian. And then I left it with the Lord. And then he smiled and he said, okay, thank you for letting me know. Look forward to seeing you on Monday. And I said, actually, I can't make it Wednesday night. We have prayer meeting. And actually, I can't work late nights because I have a life. You know, I want to walk with God. I don't want to live for work. But I promised him this, and trusting in the Lord, I said to my producer, I said, look, I promise you I'll do the job in the time that you give me during the day. I'll get it done. I trusted that if it's the Lord's will for me to be in the house of God, if it's the Lord's will for me to obey Him first, then everything around that He will take care of. I just need to live by faith. And miraculously, God allowed me to get the job done. In fact, many times our whole entire team had the weekend off. Because God blessed the work. We didn't have to stay back on the weekends. We got it done. And the client was happy. Now that's just my little story. And I'm not boasting about myself. I'm boasting in the Lord. That's what He will do. When we stand by faith. But many of us are afraid this morning. We're afraid to testify of who we really are. We're afraid of everything going sour. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus said, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise that God expects us to hold Him to. Money is God's problem. Amen? Let me put it simply, money is God's problem. Our problem is our fear. Our problem is living by faith. I think I've said enough this morning. Friends, we're all the same, and so was Moses. Moses was the same. Moses was the same. And God gives him as an example in the divine Word of God of a man who, with real personal private fears, was challenged by God, and he said, in the end, yes, Lord, I'll go. And he packed up his bags and he went to see Pharaoh. Now, that's next Sunday's message, facing the king. But let me encourage you. If God has spoken to you this morning, it is serious. The just shall live by faith. It's the only way to live. And friend, if you're here this morning and you fear where your soul will go when you die, please come and see me after the service. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up the front. Okay, we don't do that here. I'd just love to talk to you after the service so we can show you from the Bible how you can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. And Christian, if you're here this morning and God has touched an area of your life, you can overcome those fears. You can endure by seeing Him who is invisible.